scripture too, what he's saying there is the work that's being done, the manifestation and the witness that's taking place. If you don't want to believe me, believe the witness that you're feeling, seeing, the things you're seeing happen here, the work that's taking place. And putting the rest of it up there. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. He's making a statement there that what you're seeing me, these works you're seeing me do, you're going to do. And even greater than this you're going to do, because of what God's accomplishing through me. And when he finishes his work in me, there will be a new covenant. And it's going to have been initiated. there's another one. But for God to have a way to reach us and save us, and then for this Holy Ghost life, I was going to say a minute ago, I don't feel like we really learned how to yield over to it enough and press beyond the flesh into the Spirit. I'm not just talking about for spiritual experiences. Have you ever, to build our personal relationship with God, it takes denying the flesh. That's one of the things that I'm wanting to hold on to. That the issue that's been brought up here recently, that, you know, that we don't need some of these things that we've held on to. I'm fearful to let go of what we've held on to. I don't want to see us lose any more ground to the world. I'm well aware that you know, just putting restraint to the flesh that's not an overcoming. That won't help you overcome. It won't help you overcome. That's not going to cause you to overcome. Making a law that prohibits the flesh from doing certain things, that won't make you overcome. If that would help you overcome, we'd have got righteous under the law. But I'll tell you what it will do. It'll separate you from the world enough that God can deal with you. If you take the principles of denying the flesh that's taught in the Word of God, look what it did for Israel. They're the only people that God had enough restraint on that he could even bring a restored church to. Paul said it. He said the law's a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. It's important to have restraint on the flesh. He restrained Israel. The rest of the world ran loose. Their flesh was loose to do whatever they wanted to do. Serve any kind of God. Make any kind of religion. Make up any kind of thing they wanted to make up to do. But God put laws. One of the things I'm studying right now is he made them have a just weight and balance and a just ephah. You know, he made them measure things. He wouldn't let them have anything that was out of balance. He just made that a law to them. It's amazing that God went to all that trouble just to get principles planted in a people that that they'd have proper balance. I was telling a young man here recently who's talking to me about this body, and I was telling him, I said, look, I said, when you come in here, you're going to see a lot of things. There's a wide variety in here. And there always will be. Don't think we're ever going to do away with that. As long as there's flesh, there's going to be a wide variety of things in the body of Christ. Because God is merciful, and he'll embrace. And if we've got the mind of God, we'll embrace Whosoever will, let him come. Now, whatever condition you're in, whatever condition of religion, doesn't matter how unbalanced or how extreme it is, we have to take everybody in and we have to deal with them from their perspective. And we've got to be patient and long-suffering and gentle and tender and kind and loving. And that takes time. I told this young man, I said, you'll see extremes on both, in from one far extreme of the spectrum to the other. I said, you'll see men in here that are strict. Men, you know, because we open our doors to churches and ministers. And ministers that are hungry. I don't care if they have had a misconception about things. In religion, we still embrace them. We still love them. And we still know we can't just change them overnight. So if you come in here and you find one of those guys, you might think, dear God, I don't want no part of this. But if you'll hang around a little while, you'll find somebody all the way on the other end of the spectrum. You may find somebody else that think, dear God, these people don't even have hardly nothing. They don't have a standard one. They just do whatever they want to do. They don't know very much. But if they love God and they're hungry and they come in here, we'll embrace them. What did Song of Solomon said? This is a this is quite a scripture. Let me give it to you. Y'all can probably get me started here. this is quite a scripture. I'm going to read it to you. In the 8th chapter and the 8th verse. It says, we have a little sister and she hath no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we'll build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we'll enclose her with boards of silver. I am a wall, and my breast like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Here's the Shulamite talking. The illustrations that God uses is sometimes it's interesting, but yet it's magnificent when you look at it. Here he's saying, first he's saying the body of Christ has you know, breast and is able to feed her children. She's able to take care of her children. But here we've got a little sister. She don't have any breast. What are we going to do with her? But he said, look what he said. What shall we do for her, our little sister, in the day when she would be spoken? If she be a wall, we'll build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we'll enclose her with boards of silver. In other words, if we find a little church, we have a little sister that we find out here, and yet she doesn't have enough milk of the Word of God to really keep people alive. She can't really give life. But if we see she's got a heart towards God, we see that there's something we can do with her. If she's a wall, if she'll stand for God, we'll build on that. If she's something we can build on, if she's a wall of protection trying to keep the world and sin out of people's lives, then we'll build on that a palace of silver. You know what that is? Understanding. Gold is wisdom and understanding is silver in the Bible. And if we find a church that's trying to be a protection against sin for people, even though they can't keep people spiritually alive. And I'm telling you, I know there's churches like that. I came out from a church that I couldn't stay saved in. And there were good people. There were Holy Ghost people. But if you went in there on Wednesday night, you'd find just a handful of old women. It'd be full on Sunday. There's still more women than men. It's hard to save men. Women have more, they're driven more with emotion. Their contact with God. And their emotions are more intact in their feeling God. Men, you know, there has to be, they've got to have enough It's got to make enough sense to them. And I'm not saying that women, it don't have to make sense to women, but I think women can embrace just God's goodness, where men have got to feel like they've got to know the purpose. They've got to get a greater understanding. For the more part, it takes something strong for men to hold men. That's one of the things you'll find in the body of Christ. We've got men in the house of God, and it takes something stronger to hold men. I don't mean that in any way condescending about women. I just know that I've watched religion out there. I've watched Pentecost. And if it wasn't for women, I don't know where the gospel would have went to. We may have lost it altogether. And so God's used women in a great way. I think they could feel God's spirit, know the realness of it, but that wouldn't hold men altogether. And I think one of the reasons is men worked. Women were housewives, men worked, and they were out among, they experienced a lot of things that women didn't experience. And it took something stronger to get a hold of their life and get them in and get them established. And anyway, I came up in a church that I couldn't hardly stay saved in. I knew God was real and I knew I had the Holy Ghost, but it didn't make sense to me. It didn't make enough sense. I couldn't put enough of the pieces together that were missing. I just wasn't one of those men that could just go and not have questions. It just didn't make sense. A lot of things I was being taught, I just couldn't put it all together. There wasn't enough understanding. But it'll take the body of Christ to build on those churches. And then he said, if she's a door, some churches are a door. Brother Leninger told me when I went to the Dominican Republic, there was 8 Dominicans that came in that meeting in Haiti in that service, and they had never had Dominicans over there before. And they came in that service, and God got a hold. We got those people. You know, one of the women in there could speak Creole, and she was interpreting in Creole into Spanish for them. And they had them all sitting together where she could, and you could hear her interpreting what was going on. And the second day we got them up and got them to testify. And they got to testifying, and the Spirit of God fell on them Dominicans. And the whole house exploded. I mean, it just went crazy. And I was watching that. I was standing, I remember I was over here on this side of the pulpit, on the edge of the, and I was just watching it. I was just getting blessed watching it. Brother Leninger was over there about where Brother Wayne is, and I didn't even see him, but he walked over to me and he got me by the arm. And he said, Brother Smith, I just asked him on the airplane on the way to Haiti if he'd give me permission to go to Dominican Republic and see if it was God dealing with me. He walked over and took me by the arm and he said, Brother Smith, God just spoke to me and said that he is sending you to the Dominican Republic and those people are your door. And he said, that is a witness of God, of what you've been feeling. God sent them people in here as a witness. And he said, I feel like you it is God and you are to go. And so when I went over there, those people today are not in the body of Christ, but they were a door. They opened up areas and places and contacts for me. If they would have been, and some of them I'm still working with. Some of them still come around, and if possible, I'll enclose them with cedars boards of cedar. You know, cedar preserve. It's a preservative. You used to take what they called them. What they call those cedar chest that people used to put stuff in, or cedar closet you could hang your clothes in, and I'd keep the moths and everything out. Well, yeah. So If we find assemblies like that, you know, we'll build on them and we'll enclose them. We'll preserve whatever they do have. We'll make them something, you know, we'll build something around them that will be a way to preserve the people that they do have contact with, and make it a preserving element. If we can find people that, you know, they shouldn't always stay that. Sure, we should get them finally enough vision and revelation that they come in and be among us. This work of God down here is so marvelous that the Lord has carried us beyond that, the salvation. Yet, I think we need it working in our midst enough to where, I mean, we're not past having altar calls. I still give altar calls once in a while when I feel like it. I feel like God wants somebody saved. I still think that's a method that people will respond to. But I'm looking even more for more help of God than what we've got and what we've had in times past. I'm looking for God to help us in ways. And I'm feeling like it's coming. I feel, you know, haven't we been having some marvelous services? Services like Sunday night. You know, if you was here and you was singing with us, I just wonder if anybody didn't laugh. That was fun, wasn't it? It's fun to serve God and get in on the blessing. I remember when I watched y'all dance the first time. I thought, this is so good. I thought, these people are having fun. This looks like fun. And I remember I was in Houston meeting, my first one, and they had those theater seats, you know, and just like we used to have over here. That's just about what they're like. And all those ministers lined up, they're so close together, you couldn't take off and run. You couldn't do nothing, hardly. But the power of God come in there, and people got to getting blessed, and ministers got to doing like this, and of course the seat was folded up behind them, and they got to dancing, making them a little circle, you know. And all, a whole bunch of them was making that same circle together. They just, you know, they broke loose and was having fun. They was looking at each other. I always thought you had to get hit in the head with a ball bat, you know. I mean, you had to have your eyes closed, and God had to hit you so strong that you didn't know what you were doing so you wouldn't do it in the flesh. Now, these guys was having fun. They was putting their flesh to work to serve God. I liked what I saw. Well, they was there, and everybody, people around me, well, I look goofy up there not turning with them, you know. But I'd never done it before. And I thought, I stood there and I thought, that looks like so much fun. They did. And I thought, you know, they kept doing it. They turned several times. I thought, if they turn one more time, I'm going to go with them. And I remember the thought hit me. They don't know who I am. They, you know, they just think I'm one of them. Well, I want you to know, they knew I wasn't one of them. Hey, has anybody come in here and get a blessing and we don't know who they are? We don't know, they're not part of us. It wouldn't matter if there's 500 of us, we'd know, wouldn't we? Somebody made a statement one time, said, I was sitting on the platform when they made it. They said, I can tell when a guy gets up out of his seat and walks to the pulpit if he's in the body or not. You don't have to say nothing. It's almost the truth. You can just about tell. We're so marked in certain ways that we do things. Oh. But they did. They went again. And boy, when they did, I went too. I made my circle with them. Boy, that first circle, something broke loose inside of me. I'm telling you, I felt God. Something broke loose in my flesh, in my pride. And boy, I'm so glad they went again after my first, because I thought, I don't want to quit this right now. This is doing something for me. Boy, I mean, I even tried to help them when they turned around, you know, and come around like this. And I'd get around and say, whoo! I kept on going, hoping they'd go with me. And they did. I don't know how long it lasted, but it was good, I can tell you that. Just that little something like that. You'd be amazed how much just breaking the flesh loose, worshiping God. It's hard to get people to turn loose. Give over to God. Get your hand up. Boy, you know how hard it is for some people to get their hand up? Most time they'll put one up. Hope nobody's looking. You know? And then they get it up, but they can't hardly get it above. But boy, to get both of them up. And you know, we don't even think about that. Do you remember when it was hard for you? Any of y'all remember? Brooklyn will never know. She'll probably, if she stays in here, God's mercy stays with her, she'll never know what it's like to have too much pride to get her hands up in the air. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, God. Well, I love this message. I love this salvation plan of God that will save you, get you out of the sinning business. In fact, the more I've learned about it, I don't want to slip in like a goat. I want to walk in. Look at this scripture right here again with me in Revelations right quick before I sit down. This scripture blesses me. I think it's in the 4th chapter. Yes, it's in the 4th chapter, in the 8th verse. It says, the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, this is a picture of the body of Christ around the throne, the four beasts is. And they finally get in a place where they just cannot stop worshiping Him. They just cannot stop glorifying Him day and night. They just finally get in such a place that God is so great and He's been so good to them. They're just holy. Oh, God, you're so holy. It's, you ever feel God, you feel so good, so clean. God fixed you. I mean, there's sometimes I go home from here, I just feel like Brother Telly, I just feel like, oh, God, I hate to leave here. I hate to get out of here. I'm afraid I'll get a little speck of dust on me or something. I feel so clean. I'm glad for those type of experiences. It lets you know there is a place in God that you can be clean forevermore. And here they are, admonishing, praising Him, Lord God Almighty. And then they've had a revelation, which was, we know about you. We know what you have done. We've got the history of it. We know what God has worked in this world, what's been accomplished through Jesus Christ, and which is, hallelujah, I know who He is today. I know where we're at in Him. I know what God's doing in this world, hallelujah, and which is to come, hallelujah. Thank God I know something about the coming of the Lord. I know what He's going to do in the future, hallelujah, at least enough that it's causing praises to come out of my mouth, hallelujah. It said, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, when they do that, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure were created. Here these 24 elders, which represents the ministry, when they see the saints of God that have this kind of glorification of God, that they've come to a place where God is became so glorified in their life, and that they have so much honor and praise for him. Don't you see, here's a ministry that sees, thanks God. The saints of God have arrived. They've got it. Hallelujah. They got what you gave us to give them. And it's working in their lives. And they've gave over to it. Hallelujah. And then those men recognize that none of this really is any of our righteousness. Take this crown, Lord. You're the one that ought to be fully glorified. It's no work that we've done, but it's such the great grace of God that's worked in and through us, that's reached the people of God, that's caused such a marvelous thing to take place. Hallelujah. That blesses me. And they begin to recognize with them how much worthy and glory and honor he was due, and he's worthy of. Oh, hallelujah. There's a people, saints of God, that's going to get this so fully in their hearts and in their lives. And I'll just tell you, before this is over, right now you're living in a time of blessing. It's still a time of blessing in America. Take advantage of it. Get yourself out of as much debt and get yourself as free as you can get to where God can use you and you can be his servant, be his love slave, because before this is over, times are going to get tough. And the less you're entangled with this world, the more you're going to be free to operate in him. And let him get you free right now while it's available to you. Work toward that. Get your mind on that. I was telling somebody the other day, I was about these girls. Some of these girls are getting old enough to get married, you know. Find a guy. I don't know what the deal is on it. I don't know. What do you girls want to get married for? What's the deal? Just because everybody does? Is that, you know, I had a guy in Canada ask me. He said, he was telling me all what he'd done. He's laying the foundation to ask me a question. He said, Brother Smith, he said, we've got our home, you know, and we don't owe that much on it. We've got it financed low, and we've got good equity in it. And we've got a good job, and I've got a good job, and we've got this. We don't have no debt except for a house and a car. And he was telling me all this. He said, do you think we're ready for children? I said, what do you want them for? He said, huh? I said, what do you want with them? He said, what do you mean? I said, what do you want with kids? I said, what's the deal? Everybody has to have them? I said, why are you wanting kids? I said, do you, you know, what makes you want one? I said, do you realize they're going to grow up? They're going to cost a lot of money. They're a lot of trouble. There's a lot of work. They're going to leave home. You're going to have a lot of heartache. I said, do you know all that? He just kind of looked at me. I said, why are you wanting them for? What's your purpose behind it? Who started this, everybody having kids? Why did... He looked at me, and finally, of course, I was messing with his mind. I was just playing with him. He looked at me. He said, well, I've never thought about all that. I said, you hadn't? He said, no, but I'm going to tell you this. My wife ain't going to like this. Well, that's when I let go. I couldn't hold it any longer. I let him know. But I was telling somebody recently, I said, you girls, I said, if I was a young girl and I loved God and wanted to serve God, and I was, you know, felt like I needed to marry. The Bible does say it's better for you to marry than to burn. So I'd rather see you married than for you just burn up. If you can't contain, the Bible says marry. So, you know, a girl that just thinks she's got to have a man, she might as well get her one, because she's going to burn up if she don't. Same way with boys. But I said, if I was a girl, I said, I'd be looking. I'd set my goals pretty high. Do you know whoever a girl marries is what they're stuck with for life? You know, a man is sort of an option for men too, but you know, he don't have to follow her where she moves, and he doesn't have to take whatever she can make a living for. You know, but when you marry a man, you're marrying something that, you know, I don't need no help now. Anyway, so I'd set my goals a little high. I'd look for somebody that had ambition, and wanted to have, you know, wanted to be a good provider, and wanted to be in the body of Christ. But I can tell you something: a man that wants nice things, and he wants to provide, and he wants to be responsible, and he's got high goals for his family, he'll have high goals in God if he loves God. And I wouldn't even think about him if he didn't. But I'd set my affections on someone, you know, I'd want to know something about their family. What kind of man's your daddy? What kind of, you know, I'm not saying they can't change, but I'm just saying sometimes I think girls just, you know, they just get involved with boys and they don't even think about some of these things. And some of these women want babies and they don't even know why. Poor Sister Reva, she's not here tonight. I'll tell you why. She's war slapped to a frazzle. Let me see if I can put that in English. She did you? Yeah, I know. I know you understood it, by the way. There may be some. She's wore out. They call me. Brother Matthew said, Brother Smith, I'm getting 3 hours a night at the most for sleep. He said. He said, we just got the babies fed and asleep. He said, we just can't move them. We just can't take a chance on it. I said, all right. I said, we'll let you get a little better routine going before. I said, look, I didn't tell them, but I'm going to have to tell them. Look, on Wednesday night, you're going to have to snap it up. You got to get them in a routine. Women do that. I know they're capable of it. They get things going where it fits right in the time frame for everything that's going on in the house. Anyway, I know you girls, maybe I shouldn't say anything, but if I didn't say anything, then I couldn't say I told you so. Hallelujah. All right, y'all got a song that can help me get me down from here? Let's receive an offering. Now, if you're not going to give but $28 like you did last week, let's forget it. But we need help. We really do. Our expenditures are high and our assets are a little low, especially our liquid assets. So if you would help us out a little bit, the ushers come. Let's pray before we take up the offering. My mother's sick tonight. My wife was ready to come to church, and my mother had an accident, and she's got an intestinal virus, I guess. So pray for her. Pray for my wife when you think about it. It's quite a responsibility, and I know some of you sisters understand that, for her to be a caretaker of my mother. I wish I could relieve her of that. Some, anyway. But it just seems like it's what the Lord has for us right now. So we want to be faithful. What else do we need to pray for? Brother Nethaniah? All right. Sister Painter's sick tonight. Let's remember that. Is that what you girls were going to ask for too? All right. Good. Sister Fisher? Who? Sister Wilkins sick tonight. All right. Let's remember her. It's good to see Brother and Sister Wallace made it in tonight. Appreciate them Who else? Brother Mike Crafton. Yes, we're glad to have him with us tonight. Sorry I didn't mention you before now. Sister York. All right. Bless his heart. Yeah. Still has this open wound in his stomach, so it's hard for him. Bless his heart. All right. Let's remember Brother Doug. Brother Stanley Fisher, remember him. He needs our prayers, Sister Ann. All right, Sister Ann. There's others that aren't. Let's remember those that aren't here tonight. And ask God to help them. Keep praying for Brother and Sister Durham's home to sell. I'm fixing to put my farm up for sale. And the church here in the Republic needs to sell. Keep praying for those. Michael and Cindy's house still needs to sell. Yes. Yes, yes, it was announced. I'm sorry, I guess I was thinking we already knew it. It was announced at the Memphis meeting that he died last week. And so pray for Sister Petrovich. She's going to have to make an adjustment and try to go on now. So let's keep her in our prayers. All right. Yes. Yes. Metrovich. I'm sorry. Mestrovich. You know, from Portland. Yeah, but the one from Portland. Mestrovich. Yeah, he passed away last week. They announced it in the Memphis meeting, did you? Oh, and you thought Petrovich. Yeah, but it's Mestrovich, from the Portland church. The Crows was telling us about it too. They went and saw him. In he's from Yugoslavia. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that I haven't heard anything on that. All right. Remember our singing on November the 7th. I got a. Brother and Sister Horton are going to be with us that Saturday night and Sunday for services. So invite others. I'm going to try to let the other churches in our area know about it. You can too. Invite friends, different ones. That's part of the purpose of it, is to try to help reach out to others. All right, you want to stand and ask God to help us with these needs? Praise your wonderful name, Father. Oh God, lift these cares and burdens up before you tonight, Lord. Lay them before your feet. God, have your will in each situation, Lord. Comfort Sister Mestrovich's heart tonight. Touch my mother, my wife, Lord, and these that couldn't be here tonight, Sister Wilkins, Sister Rice. Lord, those that are out tonight for different reasons. O Lamb of God, touch each one that are here tonight, Lord. Work your will in our lives. Direct and lead and guide us, O God. Help us, O God, get a full balance in our lives, dear God, the things that you would have for us, O God. Bless this offering tonight, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. All right. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you. see y'all Sunday morning. Before you leave, shake hands with somebody in a different aisle than you're sitting in. No, Sister Elsie, a different aisle. You have to get up and move across the aisle. There you go. Everybody remember, your time falls back this Saturday night. So